Scripture reading will be from Revelations 21, verses 5 through 8, English Standard Version. Revelations 21, 5 through 8. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and it will be his God. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death."
This last week, I did something that probably most of you did as well, or at least it was done in your home, and that is I took down an old calendar. Of course, I put another one back up, or I will. I guess I haven't gotten one yet, but it's time. Take down the old calendar, because that year is gone, and that calendar is of no benefit anymore. And sometimes I think about those calendars. I think, you know, if I had all of them that represented every year that I've lived, that'd be a pretty big stack now. And I also think I've taken down a lot more than I'm going to put up in the future. Time can be a very uncomfortable thing to think about if we're only thinking about the body. But thanks be to God, we don't have to think just about the body. We can think about the spirit that will live on forever. And thanks be to God and His Son Jesus Christ, we can live forever in glory in a far better existence than we have here. Oh, we love living here on this earth, but how much better it will be someday. And so as we go through that annual ritual, let's not be discouraged by the fact that we are seeing more and more years go by. Let's instead think we're now closer to heaven than ever before. And I hope if you're not yet in that position where you can think in that way, that you'll make some changes in your life today. That today you will say, "I am going that way." So good to be with you again. I was away last week for a vacation. But it's good to be back. I enjoy being with my family down in Nashville, but you're my family, and I love being with you as well. And so it's really good to see all of you. We have lots of visitors with us. Just look around. You'll see people that you may not recognize, and if that is the case, go to them after we are dismissed and say, "I'd like to get to know you." Even if you've been here a long time, I want to get to know you. Because we are family. Let's be family. Let's develop those relationships. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. At that time, I believe Dustin will be speaking to us. And so I hope you'll come back and join us for that. Dustin always has good lessons. You may also notice at the welcome centers, there are these really bright green leaflets that have been put out. And that's the new preview of sermons. I hope you'll pick one up. Maybe pick up two or three and share with somebody you'd like to get to come with you to worship. Because people are looking for understanding God's Word. People want to know, what does the Bible say? And the lessons that we propose to preach may be exactly what they've been thinking about. So pick those up. Let's look ahead. Let's dedicate ourselves to a wonderful year ahead. And let's grow in the spirit and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get your Bible out. Let's stay in the Bible for the remainder of our time on this earth, because that is how we know anything about God. Let's turn to that right now And I hope you'll be following with me as I go through this lesson. Now, first of all, let's talk about something a little odd. And that is, if I ask you the question, how many of you deliberately swallow your toothpaste? Now, all of us have at one time or another done it accidentally, I suppose. We didn't mean to do it. Something happened. Maybe we had a hiccup or I don't know. And we accidentally did it, but that's not something we want to do. We think, gross. But if you happen to be one of those astronauts or cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station, I learned, you have to learn to swallow your toothpaste. That's just part of what goes on. There's a lot of other things we could talk about, but I'll let you do that on your own sometime. It's a different way of living. You're in a situation of microgravity, almost nearly no gravity at all. And so there's a lot of things you got to do differently if you're going to live aboard the International Space Station. Well, how many of us are going to ever be on that space station? Well, I don't know. You know, it could be that some or several of us will end up there at one time. But many of us have already entered into a different way of life called Christianity. Now, some may think, well, not really doing anything differently other than going to church on Sunday morning. Oh, I hope that's not your thinking. I hope your idea of Christianity is more than just getting up early on Sunday and going to worship, and that's about it. I hope it's a whole lot more, because what we're going to be looking at in the year 2016 is the idea of all things new. We're going to look at that idea this morning, in fact, and introduce the idea for us. But the idea is we're entering into a different way of life. Some people may not realize all that it involves, the differences that it involves. That's what we want to find out from the Word of God. So this morning, we're going to talk about the idea of all things new, and let's challenge ourselves. Let's make sure that we are doing what the Lord wants and not just what we want, because that is following Christ, doing His will. Let's begin in Revelation 21. Get your Bible out. Let's look in Revelation 21 for a few minutes. And here we're going to get this idea of all things new. Revelation 21. Now, this is one of our favorite chapters in all of the Bible. There are things in this chapter that talk about heaven, our eternal home, and we love that. Now, there's not a lot of details given to us. A lot of questions that we might have about heaven are not answered there, but enough is given there that we say, wow, I really want to go there. So it's one of our favorite chapters, but there's more than just heaven in this chapter. Let's look. Let's begin reading in Revelation 21, beginning in verses 1 and 2. And here is part of what John saw in this vision. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And we could talk a long time about what that means. I do not believe that it means a refurbished physical earth. I just reject that idea. But what exactly it means, we could talk a long time about that. What I really want to focus on is in verse 2, where he goes on to say, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I saw New Jerusalem. Now, John was very familiar with Jerusalem. As a Jew that lived in the region, he had grown up in Galilee, which was to the north, but he had often come down to Jerusalem, as any faithful Jew would have done, and it became the hub of much of the activity of the early church. So John knew about Jerusalem. And if it be true that Revelation was written when most scholars think in the 90s AD, then John also would have known the destruction of Jerusalem. He would have lamented the fact this beautiful city, this marvelous temple, now is lying in ruins because of those terrible Romans. He would have known about the destruction of Jerusalem. But it doesn't end there. Because now he sees a vision from God, and now this new Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven. It is being given back by God. But notice some of the features of that. He says, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That is a thought worth dwelling on for a moment or two. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, all of us have been to weddings at one time or another, and we know that idea of a bride preparing herself and being ready. But let's go back to chapter 19 of Revelation. Just flip a page over or so, if that, and look at verses 6 through 8. Revelation 19, 6 through 8. And again, this idea of a bride prepared for her husband appears there. It says this, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready.'" Who is this bride? Read on. "It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." The fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And so this image of a wedding, of a bride adorned for her husband, that's pointing to the saints. That is, you and me and all of us who have dedicated our lives to living for Jesus Christ. Now, and I don't think of it like, well, I'm no saint, I'm not perfect. No, that's not what the Bible means by that word. The Bible means those who have dedicated themselves to living for the Lord, even though at times we mess up. We are His. We belong to Him. And thus, this fine linen, the righteous deeds of the saints, we are preparing ourselves. That, I think, is a very important idea to notice in Revelation 21, this new Jerusalem coming down representing the church, prepared. And if you're going to focus on one word, highlight one word in that passage, that's the word I want you to think about, prepared. We'll come back to that. But then again, in Revelation 21, go on to verses 3 and 4, and here is where we get some of that beautiful thought about what heaven will be like someday. He says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" There are some that say this refers to the church today. It may, in a limited sense. I believe there is a very real sense in which God dwells with us now. I believe there is a limited sense in which God wipes the tears from our eyes now. But I see in this passage the fulfillment, the fullness of what we're hoping for. That's what the readers of Revelation needed to hear. There's something better coming for us. We're not going to die anymore. We're not going to cry anymore. We're not going to hurt anymore. And so this is such a beautiful picture. It doesn't tell us what our rooms will look like, if we'll have rooms or not. But it does tell us what we really want to know. And that is, there will be no more pain, no more death, no more crying. God will be with us. Then we come to verse 5. "He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" And there's that phrase that we're going to latch onto through the remainder of the year: all things new. I am making all things new. Now, do you think it's significant that he says in the present tense, "I am making all things new," or as your translation may say, "I make all things new"? Do you think that's significant? Why didn't he say, "I have made all things new," if we're only in heaven? But you see, we're talking about here and now. We're talking about a process that is ongoing, and that becomes clear in verses 6 and 7. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God. He will be my son. Do you think there are going to be thirsty people in heaven? Do you think there are going to be people in heaven that have not yet conquered? This tells me we're looking at a scene anticipating heaven, but we're still here. And that's why it says, I am making all things new. I am in the process of making all things new. Kind of like some of you who have built houses. And during the building process, you keep looking at those pictures, the artist drawing of what your house is going to look like, complete with all the landscape and furniture inside, and you say, wow, that's going to be great. But the building is still going on. You're not there yet, but it's giving you hope. And I see that as what Jesus is saying here. I am making all things new. It is going on still. But in verse 8, not everybody buys into this. Not everybody wants all things new, because he says in verse 8, as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. These are people that have said, I don't want that newness. I'm going to cling to the things of this earth. Thank you for the offer, but I don't want it. And unfortunately, one day they will learn too late what a dreadful mistake they made. So Revelation 21, to me, presents a goal that we are seeking to attain, heaven. But it also pictures what is going on now and how we must be cooperative, how we must be working with the Lord as we progress toward that goal. We must be working with Him as He works to make all things new so that we don't end up like those unfortunate ones in verse 8. That brings us to the second part of this lesson, which becomes very personal. And that is working with Christ to make all things new. Working with Christ to make all things new. Mark chapter 5, you have heard this incident read a number of times. It's one of the more memorable of the miracles of Jesus. As he came into the region of the Gerasenes, a man ran out to meet them, and he was a wild man. He was almost a beast, you might say. He was not clothed. He had been living among the tombs. He had been cutting himself with rocks. They could not restrain him. He had chains, and he would break those chains. He was a madman. And yet Jesus cast out the demon, the demons, we might say, because he said, my name is Legion. There are a multitude of demons in me. And Jesus cast them out. And now when the people of the town heard about it, they came out and they saw this man sitting there. It's a miracle, obviously. The power of Jesus is incredible. But they were more focused on the pigs floating in the water below. A herd of pigs, a large herd of pigs, had received the demons that Jesus cast out, and they rushed down and fell into the water and drowned. And that's what the people were looking at. They didn't care about the man sitting there fully clothed in his right mind. They wanted their pigs back. They wanted their demons, if that's what it took. And so we find in Mark chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, those who had seen it described to the townspeople what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. Some people want the old way, even though they may say it could destroy me. Yeah, it may destroy me. I'd rather have that than Jesus. Can you believe it? Are we among that number? I mean, we can say, oh, I love Jesus, and yet we're clinging to our demons and our pigs. Are we like these people? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us the essence of being in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, the essence of being in Christ, here's what it's all about. And Paul says very simply there, if anyone is in Christ, that's what a Christian is. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. A new creation, that's what it's about. And that means there's going to be some changes in the way I live, in the way I think, in the way I value, in the way I talk. There are going to be changes if I am a new creation. Now again, let's understand, there are a lot of people that think they are new creations, but by their lives, they're showing that they're not. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, Paul was writing to these Christians in Corinth. I mean, the fact that they had made a decision for Jesus in such an ungodly culture was commendable, but it wasn't enough. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 1, I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? These were Christians. These were people that had been baptized into Christ. And yet Paul says, you're not making any progress. You are still on milk. And it would be like a child. We might see a baby drinking a bottle of milk. We say, oh, isn't that precious? We might see a 10-year-old still feeding just from a bottle of milk. And we say, how tragic. They're not developing. Something is wrong. And that's what Paul is saying there. Something is wrong. And what is that? You are still of the flesh. You're not progressing. You're not getting that solid food that I want you to have. That was a choice they were making. A very similar situation can be found in Hebrews chapter 5. Turn and look at that with me. Hebrews chapter 5. And virtually the same thing is going on here. We don't know the author of this book. Might have been Paul, might have been somebody. We don't know. But that doesn't matter. Because again, the writer is just pulling his hair, saying, I really want to take you to greater heights, but you're not ready. He says in verse 11, about this, you've been talking about Melchizedek and that concept. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. And there again, you see the problem. They were not advancing. They were unskilled in the word of righteousness. Could that be said of any of us? That we just really haven't spent enough time in the Word of God to know what we're talking about, to know where this might be found, where that might be found. We don't know. We've not spent time in it. You know, we become skilled in things we're interested in, don't we? If it is golf, if it's following UT football, if it's cooking, if it's whatever, we become skilled because we're interested in it. We take the time to study it, to follow it, to learn about it. But they were unskilled in the word of righteousness. They were still children. And thus, in verse 14, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to discern good from evil. They were serious if they had reached this point. Now, I want you to notice the great contrast between verse 11 and verse 14. Back in verse 11, he had said, you have become dull of hearing. And that word could be translated sluggish. You know how you felt after eating that Thanksgiving meal? We're going to have to get back to the gym, but not right now. I just don't have the motivation right now. We're sluggish. But then contrast that with verse 14. By powers of discernment, they are trained, gymnazo in the Greek, the word from which we get our gymnasium. A deliberate training, a dedication. I want to be at this point. Here is where I am now. I'm going to spend time in the gym. I'm going to spend time training until I get to that point. That's the dedication that it requires to make all things new. Where are we? And yet there are many who continue living as if nothing changed, because nothing has changed, apparently. Paul says in Romans 6, verses 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Did we die to sin? Or was that just words? Are we really dedicated to following the Lord and learning from His Word, listening to what He tells us through that Word? Or are we still of the flesh? This brings up some uncomfortable questions, but necessary ones. For example, we might ask ourselves, am I serious about developing into the Christian Jesus has called me to be? Am I serious about that? Or is it just kind of something I do now and then, whenever it's convenient? Number two, am I willing to spend time hearing the solid food of the Word so that I can mature? I mean, really get into the Word of God. And yeah, that means coming to Bible classes. It also means studying at home, on our own. Are we serious about that? Are we willing to do that in order for all things to be made new in our lives? Am I working diligently to develop my ability to tell the difference between what is right, what is wrong, and then make the choice that is right? That's what a follower of Christ does. We learn how to discern between right and wrong, good and evil, and then we choose what is right. And maybe the biggest question of all, verse number four, how different is my life than it was before I became a Christian? I mean, really, how different is my life now than it was the day before I became a Christian? We all need time to grow. God understands that. Children require years to grow up into adulthood. That's fine. Parents understand that. But really? All these years? And we're still on milk? If we want all things new in our lives, the way Jesus wants to make us, we're going to have to be dedicated. We're going to have to be like that bride descending, that new Jerusalem, as a bride prepared for her husband. You want a good example of somebody that changed, that had that newness of life? Look at the Apostle Paul. In fact, listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. And here Paul tells us just how different things are now as to the way they were. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 9, I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Paul was different. Once he was a threat to the churches. Now he is a great assistant to the churches. A change. Did it happen just because God said, okay, Paul, you're different now? Well, that was part of it. But notice Paul said, I worked harder than all the others. But he was quick to say, it is the grace of God that is with me. It requires cooperation on our part. We cannot do it alone. There is no way we could ever save ourselves. But with God's help, we can be saved. But that will require our cooperation. And us saying, Lord, I want you to make all things new in my life. I want to get rid of those demons and those pigs. I want whatever you want for me because I trust you. Do you trust the Lord? Really? Are you ready to make your commitment to Him today to be His follower? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son so strongly that you would turn away from anything God tells you is a sin, whether you have loved it and clung to it in the past? It doesn't matter. If God tells me that's a sin, I'm done with it. And are you willing today to make the good confession that I do believe He is the Son of God, no matter what may come from that confession? And I want to be baptized just like Jesus commanded, so that my sins will be washed away. Simple. Simple to do those things. Takes only a few moments. And Jesus will make all things new in your not life. And if you've done those things and yet you have continued struggling, you've not really been following the Lord, you're more of the flesh than you are of Christ, today is the day to come home and say, Father, forgive me. Help me. Make all things new in my life. And God will be glad to forgive you and to help you if you will come. Come as we stand together and sing.